It's good to have you here. If you are visiting today, if this is your first Sunday or second Sunday, particularly welcome. Do come and introduce yourself at the end. My name is Stephen. I'm the minister here at Gillingham Baptist Church, and you are very welcome. It's a lovely opportunity to start the week. The sun is out for us as well, which is even nicer. So this is our opportunity to hear from God, to receive from him and to respond to him as well. And Rachel is going to lead our opening worship for us, so I'm going to hand over to Rachel. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I'm going to start by reading a few words from the Gospel of John, which are actually words that Jesus said when he met the Samaritan woman at the well. He says, "A time is coming and has now come when the worshippers, true worshippers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." So we want to be, don't we, the type of worshippers that God seeks this morning. So as I invite you to stand, can we prepare our hearts for worship and just enter in as we worship together? So our first song reminds Jesus that he can come. So it says, "Let our praise be your welcome." Hopefully we will have the words to go with it. Here we go. Let's stand if you're able this morning.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our hearts be your fire. We are here for you. We are here for you. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for the truth of those words, that as we come and as we gather, you are here by your Spirit. And Father, we claim that promise that you bless your people. And we come this morning just to offer you all your praise and all the glory that's due to your name. Just come and inhabit our praises and our voices and the technical side and the sound and Stephen's word and Sarah's word. Father, just come by your Spirit, we pray, and anoint us in your precious name. Amen. So as we do that, let's make room in our hearts for Jesus to do that this morning. Please sit down.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Back in the summer, we started on Sunday mornings just showcasing some of the things that happen in church during the week between Monday and Saturday. We're familiar with what happens on a Sunday, but not always what happens during the week. So this morning we're going to hear from we have two Bible classes, the junior Bible class, which Ruth and Leon run, and then the older Bible class, which Simon and Steve and are involved in leading. And so they're going to be sharing with us about what they're doing this morning. And then next week, we're going to hear from some of the other children's church groups as well. So Ruth and then Simon. Yes, thank you.
Great. Leon, would you just like to stand up and wave to everyone so they know who you are? Yeah, Leon's my wonderful person. We work alongside each other. He leads some weeks, I lead some weeks. we do the years 7 and 8, so the first 2 years of secondary school, for those of you who are a bit older. last year, we looked at a variety of things. We went through the book of Thessalonians, and you might remember that the children recorded prayers for you, the church, in Gillingham, and we watched them. We looked at all sorts of other things, such as talking to people about Jesus and so on. Leon led us in a series on temptation, looking at how that works. We did quite a bit on prayer. We did quite a bit on the Bible. We got them looking at the Bible and identifying exactly what was happening, who was involved, where it happened, and all those sort of things, and then coming up with, what does it mean for me and what am I going to do about it, which is probably the most important bit and the bit we often don't get around to. So they did that. We've looked at Proverbs. You may have seen a sheet in the new sheet with some of the Proverbs they wrote. They've also written parables. So they've done a real mixture of things and have worked really hard. And it's been quite challenging and pushing for them. However, we've just had 5 or 6 of the children go up and a new group of children. And we're going to be working through Youth Alpha, which we did 2 years before. We're going to be working through Youth Alpha. So I'd be really grateful if you would pray for the children as they try and start a new group. You know, it's quite a big number of people changed. We only have about 8 to 10 children, so a large number have moved on. Pray they gel as a group. Pray that they're willing to be open and sharing what they think. You know, we're not kind of trying to push them. We're wanting them to be sharing what they really believe so that they can experience God more. So, if you'd pray for them and pray for Leon and myself as we seek to lead them closer to Jesus and to understand him more. Thank you.
Thank you. And we do the older Bible class, which is years 9 until basically the end of secondary school, or anyone that's 17, 18 and not at school as well. And we have about 20 to 25, which is really, really good. Our main aim is really to look at the Bible and how it applies to their everyday lives is kind of our, I don't know if the young people realise that, but that's basically what we aim to do. I always like repeating jokes until they lose their humour, but if you think I'm old to be a youth leader, you should see the other guy that helps me. But it keeps us young, and we really do, we try and have fun, because that's got to be important as well. Last year we spent about half the year looking at various parables that Jesus told, and digging into the relevance of life today. This year we've just started looking at some of the core fundamentals of Christianity. We're doing worship and praise and worship for sort of 2 or 3 weeks, seeing what the difference is. I would tell you, but that'd be a spoiler alert for the young people. We're trying to encourage them to sort of interact more amongst themselves. So we often split into small groups where they kind of work through a few questions and then we come back and feed together, which they love. So that's really encouraging. And I guess things for prayer would be really that they feel part of the church today, not part of the church in the future. As Ruth said, we've had quite a few new ones come up so that the group sort of gels and everyone feels comfortable as a group. And really, Steve and I, part of our vision is that it's not just Sunday morning, but through WhatsApp and things, that as a group, they'd support each other a bit more the rest of the week as well. So please pray for us, especially please pray for the young people. Aya Deji helps us sometimes as well, and Abby Paul on occasions as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Ruth. We are very blessed in terms of having good numbers in our children's church. And as I say, next week we'll look at the two younger groups and hear a little bit about what they are doing. But it's all about trying to build church, all about trying to build the kingdom, and to build it from the ground up and to implant an understanding of Jesus and the Christian faith in young lives and in older lives as well. We're going to sing a song. Rachel, thank you.
Talks just about exactly that. Can I invite you to stand? We're going to invite God to come and set his rule and reign in our hearts again. Thank you very much, Rachel. We're going to take an offering now for the work of the church here. If you're able to make a gift, that is appreciated. We recognise not everybody is able to do that, but if you can, that always helps the mission and ministry of the church. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you are a generous God. And we thank you that in each of our lives we have got evidence of that, for the way that you've provided for us, the way that you've helped us, for the way that you've blessed us. And Father, we're mindful of this and very grateful for it. So Father, from full and glad hearts, we give back to you. We ask that you'd take the gifts that we lay before you now. We ask that you would bless them, and we pray that you would bless the givers also. Father, continue to shine upon us and to continue to work in our lives, and may we experience your goodness, your love, and your care. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike, can I just move on to this for a brief moment?
Thank you. It's always good when we meet together on Sundays, and I'm mindful that we have people who come from all over the globe to be with us in church on Sundays. I'm going to drop on somebody who I hadn't told I was going to do this. Would you be kind enough to come and join me at the front? That will be very kind of you. If you want to bring your good lady, you can, but now, you've been worshipping with us for a good while. Now, introduce yourself and then tell us where you are ministering, because, that will be good.
Well, thank you for this impromptu calling me before, and a friend. Well, I've been here from June, and I've been worshipping regularly with the Baptist Church, unless my wife and I go somewhere, other churches or other places. And really, we've been enjoying this Baptist worship. Ultimately, I'm a Baptist pastor, and therefore, I feel very homely. And, I'm the...
Just come this way, and then the
people... Oh, yes. Well, I'm the director of the Extension Department in Mission India Theological Seminary in Nagpur, India. And I supervise the doctoral ministries and the master's and bachelor's programs. And we have 150 students over all over India. And we have a plan to extend our tent to other neighboring countries too. And so my wife is Santoshini, and we both are here. And a couple of weeks more we'll be with you. And then we'll be moving to USA. And then there we'll be there for another few months. Then back to India. Anything else?
But we've really enjoyed having you worshipping with us over the summer. It's been really good. And clearly you're engaged in ministry there in India in a wonderful way. I mean, what are the particular needs, do you think, of where you are working there in India? What are the particular things that we could now but in the coming months pray for?
Well, that's a good question, and I think... you're opening me to share that question, leading me to... Well, we have on the campus and over 200 students. The students come from very, very backward and rural, economically poor. And however, their dedication, commitment for the Lord to serve is very strong. And therefore, sometimes though we insist, who will pay... A certain, number of students come. Lord is my shepherd. Well, that is the faith we see behind the statement. And therefore, the need of the hour is, any support, any help that welcome for the scholarship of the students, the Mission India Theological Seminary. And the Mission India Theological Seminary students spread across all over India. They're missionaries, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And therefore, it's welcome to help to raise the student scholarship. And that's one of the important needs. And we have 26 acres land campus. We have 150, 1,500 seating auditorium and 50,000 volumes of library. and classrooms and accommodation. We have wonderful facilities there, though need to improve. Any of you, please come to Nagpur, most welcome. And you please see, and Pastor Steve, and the great author, and I have read his books. He presented me 3 books, Baptist Every Day. I read some of the scriptures. Good, I really historian. And so wonderful. And it, really, I enjoy the ministry. And thank you very much for this award.
let's pray. Father, we thank you for Wilson. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon him. Thank you for the work that he's doing there in Nagpur. And we just pray that when he returns there, that the work will prosper and flourish. We pray for those students who have got financial needs. And we pray, Lord, that scholarships can be made available for all of those students who feel your call upon their lives. Father, may all those who train at the Mission India College, may all of them, Father, just be able to be lights shining in the darkness. May they be witnesses for you. May you anoint their ministries. And may there be a tremendous revival that bursts out, that's focused there in that work in Nagpur. So, Father, we pray your blessing on Wilson, all those who are working with him, and give him and his wife safe journey to the States. And may you continue to bless and prosper their ministry. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you. So children are going to go to their different groups now. A reminder that the younger groups with Julia, it's reception year one, year two and year three. And then with Sharon, it's years 4, 5 and 6. In the upper, no, it's not. Yes, the upper room, that's right. Forgot what they're called. And well, you all know where you're going anyway, so that's fine. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? This particular Sunday has been designated the International Day of Peace. And we've had prayer requests through from SAT7, one of our organisations that we support, and have... They've encouraged us to pray for the Middle East, for the Holy Land, and to pray for peace into that very troubled and disturbed situation. It's nearly 2 years now, coming up in October, when the atrocities began. And we're mindful of the way that that has just accelerated and deteriorated over these 2 years. So, Father, we want to pray for your peace into that troubled part of the world. We are mindful of the hostages that are still there, who are still to be released, and pray that in some way that can happen in the next few days and weeks. And it would be so encouraging if we could see and hear about the remaining hostages being set free. Father, we're mindful of the appalling loss of life, not only in Israel, but also in Gaza as well. And some of those horrendous pictures of malnourished children that haunt our TV screens. And we just don't know what to say. We scarcely know what to pray about that unfolding situation there, except to pray that somehow there can be a ceasefire,
that somehow the hostilities can come to an end and that somehow peace can return to that very troubled part of the world. Father, we cry out to you for Gaza and for Israel, and we just pray for peace and we pray for justice as well. Praying, Heavenly Father, that you'd reach out into that situation and just be at work to bring out your loving and peaceful purposes, we pray. And we think of conflict in other parts of the world. We're mindful of the problems in Ukraine and pray again for the ability of the Ukrainian army to repel the invader, that in some way, shape or form they can push back the Russian army against all the odds in this David and Goliath struggle. We pray that the little one will win. And we pray, Father, that you'll just come and strengthen the Ukrainians and help them to be able to restore their land and sovereignty again. And in Sudan and in Yemen and in other parts of the world where there is violence and conflict, Lord, please be at work, we pray. Bring hostilities to an end. Bring age-old conflicts to a conclusion. And Lord, may there be peace in this world of ours. Father, we seem as a race, as a species, to have learned very little over however many thousands of years. But Father, may you teach us how to live together in peace and in harmony one with another. May you take away hatred, animosity, bigotry and prejudice, we pray. And may we all learn to live in your ways and according to your will and purpose. Father, we're mindful of a number of our friends within this church family who need your help this morning, and we want to pray for Liz Clark following successful surgery on Thursday. Father, may Liz recover swiftly and quickly. May she be able to return home, we pray, Lord. And Father, may you bring healing into her body, into her around the head. And Lord, just please restore her energy levels, we ask and pray as well. We think of Ken Davey, who's still in hospital after a severe fall last weekend. And please, Lord, bring your healing into Ken's life. Help him to start feeling stronger, feeling better. Help him to eat and help him to return home soon, we pray. And we think of Maureen Jones, one of the Borstal Fellowship, who was rushed into hospital this last week as well and had major surgery. And we commend Maureen to you. Pray that you give her your peace and bring healing to her body at this time. Help her to be able to adjust with all the changes that are happening in her life. And we pray, Lord, that you just uphold her, strengthen her, and just bring her family around her, we ask and pray at this time. We think of others too who need your help. We think of Richard, we think of Laurie, we think of Abby, we think of Stephen Harper as well, who needs your healing touch. And we think of Donna Worsfold as well, and Donna's still far from well and just needs your help. And Lord, we lovingly commend Donna to you. We think of those who are going through bereavement, and we ask that you'd help each one of them in their own difficulties. We think of those who are struggling with mental ill health, and we pray for your healing work in their lives, and we pray for your blessing upon them. And we think of those who are preparing to go back to university, and we pray that you'd go with them in their journeys, that you'd watch over them, and that you would just be involved in their lives in every aspect in these coming months and years as well. Father, thank you that you are the living and the loving God. Thank you that you are involved in this world in which we live, that you're involved and interested in our lives. Father, may you continue to work out your loving and wonderful purposes in this world, in your church, and in each one of us. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Rachel.
If you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand. as we come to the Lord again.
Thank you, Rachel. Our Bible reading this morning is from, I don't know what it's from, John 14, something. John 14, 15 to 21. And I really ought to wear glasses, you know. There we are, I can see it. There it is. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or counselor to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. This is God's word to us. Sarah, I'm going to use this as well, Mike. It's so Sarah has Sarah began in September as our minister in training, and the idea was, and we've been working on this for months and months and months, the idea was that she begins this month at Spurgeon's College in London. And then after 160 years, Spurgeon's College closed, which was a bit of a problem. So there is Sarah in Nepal. When she gets the message, it's closed. And we're all frantically trying to find out what to do next. And the BU are scrambling to find out what to do next. Anyway, the result is that this week, Sarah starts at Bristol Baptist College. But thankfully they... But thankfully they have a hub in London, which will be at Westbourne Park Baptist Church. Yes, so how are you feeling? It's been a bit of a whirlwind, hasn't it? Yes, yes.
Is this working? Praise God, hopefully. Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Pastor. And thank you so much for your prayers as well. God bless you. How I'm feeling? I'm feeling great.
Right.
It's been a bit like a woo, because I was in Nepal and I was just... There was just a lot going on. And then when I first got the email, I thought, oh, this must be a spam or a scam email.
Yes.
And I was just like, ah. And then, you know what? I genuinely just closed the email and I put it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was just like, and then I felt like, no, God was like, go check it again. Don't just show it.
Yeah.
Then I read it and I was like, oh, it's actually from Spurgeon's.
Yes.
And I did feel sad, not just because I was going to go to Spurgeon's, but it's such a profound historical place with it carried the legacy of Spurgeon's and most importantly the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
And I know I can only imagine how much like other it affected other people.
Yeah.
Especially those working and those who've been students and ex-students and all these things. So I did keep all in prayer because it was a tough time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But all I know is whatever shuts down, whatever, you know, comes our way, not just my way, but our way, if God has truly called us, then nothing can stop us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I was really like, when I was doing the Bristol Baptist interview, the gentleman said, okay, it's going to be a bit different to Spurgeon. I was like, okay, you won't be able to do this anymore, but you'll be doing this. I was like, okay. And he was like, you seem rather chill. Is this just your perspective in life? You're just a very chill person? I was just like, it is what it is. Like, you know, everything's in God's hand. He was very surprised. I was very chill, but I can only be chill because my life is in God's hand, and you know, His perfect will be done. So, can't really stress about something that's not in my hand. So, yeah.
Well, we're glad it's all working out. We know you start Wednesday. We're not sure which Tuesday you start, are we?
Yeah,
so, no, that's still to be worked out.
Yeah,
yeah. So, there we go. Sarah, let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for Sarah. We thank you for the way that you've called her. We thank you for the gifts that you've endowed her with. And we pray that you'd be with her this week as she starts at the college, at the new hub. And pray that you'll bless her and help her to be able to interact with the other students who are there. And just to be able to help to begin that training and that development, we pray. Father, we've been singing that song, Come Lord Jesus, Come, Come Holy Spirit come. And we just pray that Holy Spirit would come on Sarah this morning, that you'd anoint her, but not just today, but you'd continue to anoint her in her studies and in her training and in her ministry and in her one-to-ones with individuals. Father, may you bless her, we pray, and may your Spirit alight upon her afresh, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor.
All right. And just to say, we are having a proper commissioning service for Sarah, which will be the second Sunday in October, 12th of October. And if you're able to come, then that would be great, and bring friends with you as well. Sarah, over to you.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you. Okay, could we have the first slide, please? So, today's words. I'll be so honest with you because you're my family. I try to make it as, how do you say in English, like toned down, a bit sweetened. Like, I try to make it a bit so I don't ruffle any feathers or anything like that, but it was just not sitting well in my spirit. I just come with you with the truth of the Word of God. Whether by the end of this, you know, you like me or not, or, you know, it offends you or not, like, please just take it to the Lord. But I just really have something, like, my spirit feels heavy. It feels burdened. And what I want to share with you is truly coming from a place of the love of Christ. I'm not here to be liked, not here to, you know, like for people to be pleased with me. I want my Heavenly Father to be pleased. And I really want all of us to move forwards in Christ and to shine brightly for Him. So the message is coming from a place like that. So my intentions are not to offend anyone or to displease anyone. But if it happens, then please, again, take it to God in prayer. You see this basket, beautiful, you know, I don't know what it's made of, like bamboo shoe or whatever, like it looks absolutely beautiful, but the basket should have something in it, right? Like to make it a bit more effective, a bit like to make it more pleasing, so that it's useful of some kind, like maybe fruit. Okay, let's take the example of fruit. But without the fruits, then it's just a basket and it's just sitting there. As Christians, when we haven't consciously welcomed the Holy Spirit into our lives, we're just calling the Holy Spirit a thing, just thinking of Him as a power, like, yeah, He's the power of God, but if we're just thinking of Him as a force, and we're not really fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, we're not really walking with the Holy Spirit, and we're just trying to do this Christian walk, you know, on our own, you know, by our own strength and might and by our own wisdom. And we're like, oh no, God, I don't need you. And I don't need the Holy Spirit. And we're rejecting the Holy Spirit. Then we will be exactly like this basket. We might look beautifully adorned on the outside. We might look Christian, but from the inside out, we'll be fruitless, powerless, and empty. We won't bear any fruit as Christians without without the Holy Spirit. So that's what I really want to share with you today. So next slide, please. We'll be learning about the precious Holy Spirit. It won't be like a very in-depth teaching. We'll break it down across time. But who is the precious Holy Spirit? We want to look at that. And you had the introduction of the Holy Spirit in the reading that Pastor read to us from John 14. So we believe in a triune God, right? One God, three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know, like, we usually call the Holy Spirit the third person, the Trinity. And that's not because the Holy Spirit is less than the Father or less than the Son, Jesus Christ. It's only because, of course, He was mentioned from Genesis 1. You know, the Spirit was hovering across the dark and the void place. You know, He was hovering over the earth. So we have, like, you know, a glimpse of the Holy Spirit from the beginning. But He was truly and fully revealed to us when Christ, you know, before Christ ascended to heaven, you know. That's when the Holy Spirit was really spoken about. Although, you know, from the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon, you know, individuals. But now it's the time, once Christ ascended to heaven, it was now time for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take place in the life of the believer. That's why He's known as a third person, not because He's less than any of the persons of the Godhead. Let's move on, please. Thank you. So we know that Jesus Christ said, you know, I'm not going to leave you alone. You know, you're not going to be left as orphans. You know, although I am going and Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, victoriously, praise God, He said that I will send you another comforter. You know, I'll ask the Father to send you another comforter in my name. Okay. And in Greek, the word or the phrase another comforter is translated as allos another comforter is translated from the Greek allos parakletos. Sorry if I butchered the pronunciation, but the definition is another comforter, but the word another means another of the same kind, the same nature. So although Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, we have the Holy Spirit who is just like Jesus, who is the same as Jesus. Some people call him Jesus. The Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. Because whereas Jesus Christ would only be in one place at a time, the Holy Spirit, whoever's has received Christ and is filled with the Holy Spirit, has received the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit could be in me, the Holy Spirit's in me, the Holy Spirit's in you, and I could be in Nepal, you could be here, someone else could be in Brazil. I don't know, like, but the Jesus Christ unlimited, praise God. So you're not left alone. You are never alone in life. You could be in the darkest and deepest valleys. You could be in the corner of a jungle somewhere in the world where the population is, what, two people? I don't know. You're never, never, never alone. And that's what I want to remind you. We should not forget the Holy Spirit in our Christian walk. We should not reject him. The teaching on the Holy Spirit is not a denominational thing. It's not, oh, it's just a, you know, the Holy Spirit is only what charismatics and Pentecostals, you know, like think about, teach, and like, you know, fellowship with. The Holy Spirit is not a charismatic or Pentecostal thing. The Holy Spirit, he is a person of the Godhead. He is vital to Christian life and walk. And I've seen it, I've heard it, and people are just rejecting the Holy Spirit. Rejecting his power, just trying to do church and do ministry and do all these things in their might, in their power, for their glory, if I'm being really honest. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to surrender and submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because I'll tell you, you'll be a very frustrated Christian if you try to do your Christian walk alone and you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You're not sensitive to the Spirit. Next slide, please. The role of the Holy Spirit. He's your teacher and guide in life. You could read as many self-help books as you want. And I'm not against that. I'm not saying I'm against any of these things. You can go to a professional for counsel. You can go to friends. You can go to people. You can go here and there. But your ultimate teacher and guide, it's not even something you can get with a PhD degree. Your ultimate teacher, lecturer, guide in life is the Holy Spirit. Not going to the other things, getting education, getting therapy, counsel, you know, having a community where you can share and share your concerns and get guidance from, is not wrong. Praise God. That's very you're so blessed if you're able to access and have, you know, access to all of these things and have these kind of people in your life. But what I'm saying is, first and foremost, the person you should be going to is the Holy Spirit or God. He is God. The first and the most should be God. Before you run over to someone on the phone, before, you know, you like become frantic and you're like, ah, and you, I don't know, you open a self-help book or you go here and you go there, be still and know that he is God. And pray. He helps you understand, remember, and apply scripture to your life. Without the Holy Spirit, if you're, you know, if you've learned how to read, okay, and in whatever language, in your mother tongue, if anyone can read the Bible, many billionaires and trillionaires, you don't know, like many people that are very successful right now, they really look into the book of Proverbs and gain so much wisdom. People have built like such successful businesses and they say it from their own mouths. Like, I'm not a Christian, but I've read the book of Proverbs. Or like, you know, I've read the Bible. Like, because everything comes from the word of God. People can call it whatever. People can call it manifestation, or people could call it self-help, or people could call it whatever, but they've just taken out of the Bible, given it another wrapping, another name, and then they deny Jesus, they deny God, they deny the Word, and then they just, you know. But, so someone can read the Bible, read it, and not have that conviction or that understanding in their spirit. So you don't have to be a Christian to read the Bible, but you have to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be filled with the Spirit to be able to understand the Word of God and receive the revelations of the Spirit and to have faith to believe in the Word of God. He empowers you for the effective witness of the gospel. And I won't read it all out, but Acts chapter 1 verse 8, John 16, 8, these are your references that the Lord said, like, you know, don't go anywhere because power will come when the Holy Spirit, you know, will come upon you. Like, you wait here and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the world, praise God, to the ends of the earth. Without the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to be an effective witness. He's the one who empowers you. He is the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. And the amazing revelation is He's the same Spirit that is inside of us. We're not spiritually dead anymore because we have a personal relationship with God. And we are connected to the source of life. Praise God. Jesus Christ. We are not just alive, we are living, hallelujah. There's many people, if you go outside, they're alive. Yeah, you know, their heart's beating, blood's pumping around their body, they're alive, but they're not living. Life comes from Jesus Christ. Next slide, please. See, Acts chapter 4, verse 8, I'll turn to that. But I was in... I went to Good News at 10 with Christine, our lovely sister Christine. She led an amazing Bible study, praise God. So God bless you for that. And she touched on this as well, where, she brought to our attention where the Apostle Peter, right? Before, when he was a disciple of Christ, whilst Christ was still on earth, he was, you know, he was passionate. But he was also quite, he could be a bit irrational at times. He could be a bit hot-headed. He would cut someone's ear and he would say this. And, you know, he would be like, oh, Jesus, like, how can you say that you're going to die on the cross? And all these things. He was. And inside him, there was a bit of, he was a bit of a coward. Like, he rejected Jesus. He said, oh, no, Jesus, I will die with you. I will go with you, like, anywhere and all these things, like, you know. He said really bold things, but when it came to it, the time where Jesus was being crucified, he rejected Jesus 3 times. Because he was relying on himself and his self-confidence, and he wasn't relying on, he wasn't relying on God's strength and wisdom. He was full of pride and full of himself. He wasn't full of God. Right? So at that time, he rejected Jesus. He was scared. What will the Jews say? Like, you know, the people around him, what will the Jews say? What if I get persecuted? What if I get rejected from society? But then the same Peter, he preaches boldly before the very Jews, before the very leaders that he was scared of. I'll just bring it out. Acts chapter 4. Was this how it was like in, not in a rude way, but in the olden days where there was no slides, so you just have to wait for the preacher to turn. Sorry, not the olden days, the golden days. There we go. Sorry, forgive me. Anyways, so the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail under the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000, praise God. And basically, It says the next day the elders, the rulers, elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander and other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. And then he speaks, he preaches boldly. And he says that, in verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. He wasn't educated. He didn't have a PhD in theology or anything like that. They were still ordinary men, unschooled. But how could he speak with so much authority and boldness? He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he came in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. You want to be bold for Jesus? Then understand the authority in his name. Jesus Christ is not a swear word, not a cuss word that you just let slip out of your mouth. Jesus Christ is a name above every other name. So if you hear someone using the Lord's name in vain, whether you agree that it's being used in vain or not, be like, hey, that's my Lord and Savior you're talking about. Stop that. It's a name above every other name. Every knee will bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. It wasn't Peter. What changed in Peter? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And also, like, there was 5,000 men added here in Acts chapter 2. 2,000 or 3,000 men. People joined the church. Praise God. Next slide, please. The Holy Spirit will guide you, give you boldness, he will guide you. In Acts chapter 16, verse 67, I'll read it. Okay. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia? And Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to do so. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Paul could have gone to Minor Asia and preached there. He could have gone where he thought, oh, I just feel like preaching here today, so let me just go there. I just feel like, you know, God's calling me to be this and do this. And because I want it, and this is what I think should happen, I'm going to go there. But no, Paul submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When he saw that vision, that dream of someone calling him to help in Macedonia, he immediately obeyed, and they didn't go to Minor Asia, they went to Macedonia. Praise God. And that was such a fruitful, he saw the fruits of his obedience, because there Paul and his companions met Lydia, was a wealthy woman who loved God, and she became the first Christian, praise God, in Europe, and she played a very important part in establishing the church there, the Philippian church, the church in Philippi, praise God. He was obedient, and that's how fruit was born, praise God. Don't do what you think and what you want and how you feel. Submit and surrender to the Holy Spirit, his calling, praise God. His guidance. God has the best plan for you. But the amazing thing is, whilst God has the best plan for you, through you, he wants to bless other people as well. He wants to transform and touch lives. So don't live a selfish life. Live for Jesus Christ. Next slide, please. The Holy Spirit is so important. But the thing is, once you've received the Spirit, you have the instruction to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just every now and then, but continually. Ephesians 5:18-19. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity. But be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Be filled with the Holy Spirit continually. How? By saying to one another, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus is King. Wonderful, majestic Lord Jesus, hallelujah, we praise you. This is how you're filling yourself up. And then even in your private personal time as well, just singing songs and melodies from your heart to the Lord by praising Him. This is how you're filled, because people will tell you, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they will not tell you how. But you know that I like leaving you with action points, with practical, like how do we do it? It says right there, verse 19, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. As you're doing this, you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then like the same you who is feeling like a coward, and you're feeling like scared, and you're feeling like, oh no, I can't say this, and I can't preach this, and I can't live for Christ. You'll be so emboldened. Watch as 4,000, 5,000 people come to Christ as God uses you. We need to stop just reading the books about how revival happened in history and just go, oh yeah, praise God, God did such a magnificent move there. I don't want this to be a thing of the history. It needs to be now. I don't know about me writing a book, but maybe pastor, praise God. But like, I want someone of this day and age to write about what's happening now, about the magnificent, glorious things that Jesus Christ is doing now. Praise God for what He did before. But the latter half of the reign is going to be more magnificent and glorious. Praise Jesus. We're going to see the work of the Spirit like never before. And these aren't empty words. But, there's a but. And this is a bit where I might ruffle some feathers. Next slide, please. No repentance, no revival. No repentance, and repent, no revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. It's not talking about the unbeliever repenting. It's not talking about the unbeliever turning from their wicked ways. He's talking about us. This wicked and perverse generation. I was appalled. I'll just say one thing. I don't know how you feel about it, but recently, an individual was assassinated for what? Speaking. Everyone has the rights to speak, whether you agree or not. Whether you agreed or not, but I will name the individual Charlie Kirk. Whether you know him or not. He was assassinated for what? Holding a space where everyone can have free speech? You didn't have to agree with him, but that's exactly what he was fighting for. So everyone could have free speech. Everyone could share their beliefs and values and still respectfully live in society. Just because someone doesn't agree with you doesn't mean they're the enemy, or doesn't mean that you're always right, and doesn't mean, that definitely does not mean that you harm someone just because of differences in beliefs and values and perspectives or political stance. There is no excuse to celebrate the killing, the assassination of anyone. And even if it was someone that I didn't know so well, or I didn't agree with, whatever it is, no excuse. But I don't have social media, but what I saw was people celebrating, making TikToks and YouTube videos and going, ha ha ha. Like, you know, they were celebrating it, disgusting. I don't care what your political stance is. Never celebrate such a thing like that. Never entertain wickedness. I was appalled. And I usually don't speak sternly like this. I was appalled. And my heart cried. A man, a child of God, a husband. His kids were like this small. And the children asked the mother, Erica, like, oh, so is daddy coming back? And I will say he was a martyr for Christ, because everything fundamentally he preached, he loved Jesus Christ and he boldly preached from the Bible. Whether you agree with it or not, but every basis of his argument was from the Bible. Maybe not everything, maybe some things were, you know, his personal beliefs or stance, but his foundation of his ministry was the Bible. And I just want to say that I'd rather three people in church, but full of the Spirit, that love the Lord, that fear the Lord. It's not enough just to love, like, you know, yes, love Jesus, but love without the fear of God might just become mere sentiments. You might say, I love Jesus, but so do people of other religions. So do people. There's lots of people who don't believe in God, but they'll be like, oh yeah, I love Jesus. He was a good man, good prophet, did good deeds. Love the Lord and fear the Lord as well. Have holy reverence for God. I'd rather someone who loves and fears God, and there's just me and one other person, and we worship faithfully, and we're a beacon of light, we're a beacon of truth, and we stand in righteousness and holiness, than a room full of people, but they're empty in their spirits, living in compromise. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. He is also known as the Spirit of truth. He's not the Spirit of compromise, the Spirit of lies. Who told you it's okay to compromise and think that you're just going to get revival like that? Think that, I don't know, that there's going to be some mighty move of God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need to repent, we need to turn away from our wicked ways. I'm not speaking to the unbeliever, I'm speaking to the Christian. No repentance, no revival. You're not going to see it. You might see a room full of people and it's just empty. The most terrifying thing is I don't want a room. I don't want to hold like a, you know, like I don't want to be in a Christian seminar or hold some Christian event where it's a room full of people with a compromised teaching, but God's not present. What's the point if God is not present? What's the point of all of this if the Holy Spirit is being grieved? God is not even there. Psalm 97, verse 10. I'm nearly finished. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in the heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. It doesn't say flirt with sin. It doesn't say compromise. It doesn't even say stay silent. You're convicted that, oh, this is wrong. What's happening in our society? What's happening in this world? Oh, it's wrong. But I don't want to ruffle no feathers. I don't want to offend anyone. I'm scared that, you know, what if they leave the church, or what if they stop being my friends? So I'm just going to stay quiet. When do you think God's going to go, oh, well, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant, that you didn't offend anyone and you just kept quiet and you didn't stand up in righteousness and truth and you compromised because you were scared of what, man? You were scared of people, but you didn't have fear of me. When do you think you're going to hear well done for those things? When? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're not the one being the voice of righteousness, if we're not shedding light on truth, and not my truth and your truth, what is that? My truth, your truth. Jesus is the truth. If we're not shedding light on Jesus and the Word of God, then it's not the unbeliever down the street that's going to do it for you and I. It takes courage. I don't want to be up here saying all these things and people might not like me. I'll be so honest with you. I was like, Lord, do we really have to say that? Because, you know, we could talk about, I don't know, the love of Christ and, you know, the fruits of the Spirit and go, yay, we could do that. We could do that. But I love you too much. I'd rather ruffle your feathers. I'd rather you be offended than any of you. Than any of you being apart from the Lord and also leading other people in unrighteousness. I love you too much. I love you too much. With the love of Christ, I love you too much to preach you a watered down, a cupcake kind of Christianity kind of preaching. I love you too much for that. Praise Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Be bold in your faith. Be bold in the things of truth, the right and righteousness. Be bold in the things of God. Hallelujah. If not now, then when? If not you, then who? You're like, oh yeah, no. She would do it. Oh no, he would do it. Don't look left and right. God is looking at you. You're called, and not just called, you're chosen. We're all called to be the ambassadors of Christ. Not just one or two people. Yes, there's different offices. There's pastors, there's leaders, there's apostles, there's prophets. There's different ways, you know, and capacities to serve God. But no one's more than or less than. You all have a special, wonderful calling, a powerful calling upon your life. But you, my dear friends, if we keep compromising, if we keep being lukewarm, if we're not taking the Lord and our faith seriously, then you might just forfeit the most magnificent destiny. I speak like this because God gave me a warning. Before I speak to any of you, He's already correct. He's been speaking to me. It was a while back, but he was telling me that, Sarah, if you keep professing my name, but you keep walking in compromise and you keep, you know, dilly-dallying about with your faith, then I'm not the one who's going to reject you. But if you keep grieving my spirit and rejecting me, then you're going to be so far gone. I don't even know if you'll come back to faith. And I cried and I repented. I was just like, I'm not perfect, Lord, but just don't, you know, I know you won't let me go, but I was just saying, just don't let me go. Like, just one more chance. Because must I tell you, once we're gone from this earth, there's no second chance, third chance. It's now. Your chance is now. And I said, Lord, like, I'm not perfect, but forgive me. And please, just correct me continually. Just don't let me go. Like, I'm not perfect, but Lord, like, I know that if I keep walking in this way, then I'm not coming back to Christ. You wouldn't see me here if I hadn't repented. And every day, you know, I need to humble myself. Praise God. It's not easy. I want to leave you with this question. When will Jesus be enough for you? When will Jesus be enough? We're singing. What was that again? I got the lyrics as we're rounding up. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation. Win England back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. It sounds beautiful to sing. But when are we going to live it? Don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers also. When will England, if you go on the street, like, if you go on the streets, there's more people out there than here. And a lot of them, the kids don't even know who Jesus is. This nation belongs to Jesus Christ. Every nation belongs to Jesus Christ. When will we stop just singing? And we will actually move into action. When will we repent from our wicked ways? When will we live for Jesus? Why do we play with our faith? Why do we take the Lord so unseriously? I don't. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Who are we? That the God Almighty, the glorious Father who sits upon his throne, he humbled himself. The Bible says Jesus emptied himself. He regarded himself as nothing. The servant king, he stepped down from the throne and he came to this earth and died such a cruel death for people who don't deserve it, like you and I. God demonstrated his love in this, that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. We didn't reach out to him. We didn't say sorry to him first. God took the initiative. His love pursued us. Stop taking it lightly. There's people in other nations that are being persecuted for their faith, and they will still rejoice in the jail. They'll rejoice in challenges. They'll rejoice and praise God. We're not even facing anything really like that. But, oh, it's raining, so we can't come to church. Oh, the temperature's like not as warm as yesterday, so I can't make it to church. We're still being entangled and we're still tripping over minor things. Come a bit higher. Come where the Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Come higher. Come into the place of glory. Come into the place of power, praise God. Come where Jesus is, hallelujah. And see life from that perspective. Live life with Christ. And live life seated in those heavenly places. Physically, your body is here. But spiritually, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. There's no challenge you can't overcome. There's no problem that's too big for you. And it's not because of your power, might, or wisdom. It's because of the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My dear brothers and sisters, lift up your head like the king, the queen that you are, the royal children of God that you are. Stand up in righteousness and in truth and shine for Jesus, uncompromised. why is church attendance declining? Why are people not coming to church like they used to? Or why are people moving away from Christianity? It's because you think that cupcake Christianity works. You think that watering down the gospel will work because then people won't be offended and that's how you bring... No, because whether people know it or not, they don't want a compromised gospel. They might feel offended by it, but in deep down, everyone wants the true gospel. It's the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all those who will believe. First the Jews, then the Gentiles. Uncompromised gospel. The church attendance is low. Churches are shutting down. Because over history, that pure gospel we used to preach has become so watered down. If we want to fill this church up, if we want to, not just this church, but if we want, you know, Christianity, people to come to, not just Christianity, people to come to Christ. Not just come to church, but come to Christ. Then we need the Holy Spirit. We need to work. We're co-laborers with Christ. We need to work with the Holy Spirit, be sensitive, and we need to live uncompromised and praise God. We won't just see, it's not going to just be a fluke that, oh, just one service, it was really, it was really good, so people came. Like, you will consistently see people being disciples of Jesus Christ. So that's what I'll leave you with, praise God. Who will you live to please, people or God? God bless you.
We won't do the video. We'll go for the song to finish with. So let's...
Let's close by singing our final song together. I am who you say I am. Let's invite you to stand if you're able.
thank you very much. Thank you. I know you've got to go and get children from Children's Church. Just to say, there's tea and coffee downstairs. Hang around. If you want prayer for anything this morning, then the guys here will be very happy to pray with you. Monday this week, we've got Alpha, Introduction to Christianity. If you're interested in that, then Monday morning, 9:30. In the upper room, or downstairs Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. Also on Tuesday, we've got Borstal Fellowship. That's at 10 o'clock over at Borstal Village Hall. Tuesday evening, we've got church members meeting. It's downstairs in the lighthouse, or it will be, online as well. We will send out the links to that tomorrow, but we are keen to have bodies in the building, because it does help the dynamics of the meeting if we have people in person. So that's church meeting Tuesday night, 7:30. On Thursday, as there is Bridge House prayer meeting. Friday, there is a Macmillan coffee morning, details in the news sheet. Saturday, Ruth's looking for some drivers to help with a beach day. And Helen is still trying to capture as many of the door stewards as possible to try and just go through the latest fire updates. Something about shoeboxes, that's in the newsletter as well. And in 2 weeks' time, we've got Harvest looking to collect food items for Food Bank. And if you're able to bring those, that would be really, really good. Let's pray. Father, may you indeed fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us that boldness that we need for you. Give us the courage when we feel weak, and help us in all those things we struggle with each and every day. Go with us from this place, we ask and pray. Help us, guide us, lead us, we pray. And may your Spirit fill us and indwell us and empower us, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. Tea and coffee downstairs. Hang around. If you want to talk to anybody, do. If you want to pray with anybody, do. That would be great. Thank you.